The NBA playoffs motto used to be where amazing happens. And last night, Devin Booker and Darius Garland put together some amazing performances that might have saved their team's playoff chances. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney, Noor Zainab, Jelani Goodridge, Reed, and guys. Exciting times in the world of the NBA. We actually have meaningful games. We have suspensions. We have drama. We have reunions, potentially. We'll get touch on that in a little bit. But let's start off with the Ballers Club, of course, you know, toasted by me, the biggest baller of them all. And I want to give a shout out to...
Skip to the point.
This is my block. This is my segment.
But let us say nice things about you. Don't say nice things about
you. Say some nice things about myself, too, because nobody else is. I might as well, too. Self-love is the best type of love.
Self-love is the best.
Self-love is the best love. People always remember that. So let's start off in Cleveland, Ohio, last night, where Darius Garland, ladies and gentlemen, went off last night. Darius Garland in a Game 2 win over the New York Knicks. He had... 32 points. 32 points. 7 assists, shot the ball 8 for 17, 5 three-pointers last night. Completely dominated the game from start to finish. The Cavs dominated this game. They played great. They really bounced back in a strong way. So, Jelani, I'm going to ask you this. We know Donovan Mitchell is the best player on the Cleveland Cavs, but he was, you know, shot the ball a lot in game one, took a step back. Do the Cavs need to have a more balanced attack, or do they really need to lean on Mitchell and Garland to score all the points?
I think they should have a balanced attack. That's what you would prefer, but I think they're definitely going to go through those guys, right? Because if you're looking at their offensive talent, that's where you're going to look at first, right? You're going to look at Mitchell. Of course, we know come playoff time, he does show up, and he has showed up since Utah days, right? And Garland, he's been ascending, right? Year after year now. We saw what he did. He was able to be an all-star already in his career, his young career, and he's a reliable option offensively. We saw that last night. So, yeah, I would say definitely go through those two because the Knicks, you know, they're more of a all-around group, all-around offense. But when you're looking at Cleveland, of course, you still got Mobley as well. Mobley could provide a spark too. But I think, yeah, if you're looking at the points specifically, you're looking at playmaking ability, you're obviously going to go with the guards for Cleveland. So we'll see how they play in New York. I want to see how it's going to continue in New York.
And quickly, before I throw it to you, another telling stat from last night was this, that Darius Garland was a plus 29 on the night. And I think that to me shows that he was putting the ball in the basket, but he's also not getting scored on as much as well. In your opinion, right, when you look at Darius Garland's game, what's the ceiling for this guy? Can he be, you know, a preeminent all-star player, or does he need to, or and a leader of a team, or does he have to be that second fiddle?
I think it's too early to say what his ceiling would look like, but I think we're on the right path where it shows you that he will amount to all-star. I'm sure he will. There's no way
he's been an all-star before, right?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to ascend to a level where he will lead a team for sure. But he's still young. But the reason why this works for them right now is not just because you have Donovan Mitchell being that, you know, the offensive load of that team, but it's a very good spot for Garland to learn from someone who's like Donovan Mitchell and to learn how to not just be a powerhouse in terms of scoring, but also facilitating. And it's really good to have that for a guy like Darius Garland, who's super young, to be kind of mentored and monitored by someone like Donovan Mitchell. And on the court too, if you're going to have the point of a basketball game is so that everyone's kind of involved a little bit. And if you don't have the involvement for everybody on the offensive end, now you're putting a lot of pressure on someone like Donovan Mitchell. And we know he can still put up 38 points, 40 points, but that's not going to win you the game unless everyone's involved. And as you said, that's exactly what the Knicks are doing. Knicks offense is completely just scattered all over their roster. Even the bench guys are able to come up and put up points. So they're not going to be able to win any games unless you have contribution from everybody else. Because in a series of seven, you also need to rest. And Donovan Mitchell can go off of 40 points
and
every single night.
When you look at like the New York Knicks, last night, Julius Randle was 8 for 20 shooting, right? Yeah. Again, we know Julius Randle, he's streaky, right? He goes on, he's very efficient, and then he goes cold. Jalen Brunson was 5 for 17. I expect them to play a lot better when they go to the Garden on Friday night. The other thing I want to give a quick shout out from that game was Caris LeVert. 40 minutes, 24 points, that spark plug off the bench. I think if the Cavs, if they want to win this series and make a run, they need Garland, they need Mitchell, but they also need guys like Caris LeVert, Chetty Osmond, if he could chip in or whatever, right? They need all these guys to chip in off the bench as well because we know they're a top-heavy team. And last thing on Darius Garland, though, because I love when guys talk about being aggressive, especially in the playoffs. That's a time where you really want to be aggressive because the ebbs and flows of a series, you get down, can you get back up? And this is what Darius Garland said post-game. He's like, everybody in the building told me to go be aggressive, go shoot the ball. I watched the film from the first game and seeing some opportunities where I can go get mine and go be aggressive, that's what I wanted to try today. We tried it and it succeeded, excuse me.
Right.
And I think for Darius Garland, this could be a huge opening for this series because we know Donovan Mitchell's going to attract doubles. We know he's going to attract all the attention. And for a guy like Darius Garland, who's been an all-star, who can put the ball in the basket and also be a playmaker, this is a prime opportunity for him to really take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at game one, right, I think after game one, someone probably spoke to him, like Bickerstaff, maybe it was Mitchell, mm-hmm. spoke to him, said, yo, we need you to be that aggressor, yeah. right? We need you to get your own, right? Because we're not going to win. We're not going to get past the Knicks, who are a talented group. You yeah. know, they are a fifth seed, right? They're a good team. So they're going to need all hands on deck, of course. So I think somebody probably got into his ear and said, yo, just be you. Be yeah. you. Be the all-star level player or caliber player that you can
and
be.
I don't even blame him because I feel like if he was taking it easy the first game, he's like, well, my team has Donovan Mitchell. Why am I running the ball? You know, so it makes mm-hmm. sense. But if you have someone coming up to you to be like, yeah, you got Mitchell, but we still need you, it means a lot. And I think you're seeing that happen for the Phoenix Suns as well, where not to take over already, but like just in terms of having second guys come through and be like, you know what, we need to provide offense from all ends and not have
yeah,
one
we'll,
guy
we'll be talking about this
well yeah, yeah well since
I mean, it's
you,
happening
you,
everywhere is
yeah,
what I'm
well
yeah.
this we're a team here so she lobbed it up and of course I'm gonna finish it
You're
with a windmill dunk like that. The Phoenix Suns last night even their series against the Los Angeles Clippers 123-109 big fourth quarter mm-hmm. to outscore them 31-22 and my guy Kentucky's very own Michigan's very own Devin Booker
yes.
not Kevin Durant not Chris Paul Devin Booker bounced back in a big way. He had 38 points 14 for 22 shooting, 4 3-pointers, 6 for 6 from the free throw line. Also had 9 assists last night, which we don't get from Book a lot. We know he could put the ball in the basket, but to be the facilitator that he was, very big. And after struggling in game one, Devin Booker accredits a certain something to his bounce back in game two.
It's never a good feeling. But yeah, I just got on Call of Duty and blew some steam off.
All you do.
But yeah.
All you do is play Call of Duty.
Forget what Mike Conley said, man. We got to play. We got to play. It was funny. Mike was talking. He was like, yeah, we can't be playing Call of Duty. Carl walked in the back. He was like, hey, Mike, you getting on? You getting on? That's our generation, man.
That's our generation, man. Now, kids, I'm not telling you if you had a bad day at school to forget your homework and play Call of Duty. Do your homework first, then play Call of Duty. But guys, maybe Call of Duty does work. Booker came back.
So.
And had a great game, man. And I think we talk about Kevin Durant a lot, but I think Devin Booker needs – it's his team. It's his city. It's his franchise, right? Kevin Durant's the best player, but Phoenix Suns are Devin Booker's team. And he proved last night, I think, when Devin Booker has that aggressiveness and he plays like that way, there's very few people that can stop him,
right?
And I think that's where the absence of Paul George kind of comes in because you know – look, I saw Kawhi strip the ball from KD, take it to the other end of the court, dunk it, right? He's going to take that assignment. Kawhi's been balling out this series, right? But this is a prime opportunity. Similar to what I was saying about Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, Devin Booker is going to have a lot of opportunities here to take advantage and feast. And last night, he did Jelani in a very big way.
Absolutely. You're looking at the fact that they couldn't really stop him from mid-range, right? He's a mid-range assassin, and that's what you want to see from him. And you brought up the point that is, you know, it's huge in this case. There's no Paul George. And I think that's definitely the could decide this series, of course, right? Because Paul, he's not just an offensive juggernaut. He could do it defensively as well, and his assignment would be D-Book. And we saw a different D-Book in this game compared to game one. That's why the Suns prevailed, because we'll talk about it a bit later, but like the bench, obviously there's questions there. So you're going to need these guys to step up. They play so many minutes. So yeah, Book, if they want to do anything in the Western Conference, he's going to have to be a guy that says, you know what, I have to be aggressive. I can't be passive, because you'll see KD get doubled often. So he's the next guy in line. He's the next scorer, right?
Yeah.
Chris can't do it. Ayton is inconsistent, so it has to be D-Book.
It made no sense to me to watch him. Like, it obviously was great to watch him be a defensive guy in the first game, but I'm like, it's not you, Book. What are you doing? Like, the point of having KD on your team now is not that you get to coast offensively. It means now you have help offensively. It means now you have multiple guys who can be a threat offensively, which also opens up guys like DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul and everybody else on the team. So I think that's what we need to see from Devin Booker as well, and that's why I went back to the the point about the Cavs, where I'm like, but you guys like that just have to be told, hey, this is still your team as well. Yes, we brought on a star who we know is one of the best at getting the ball in the bucket, but we're not going to win anything unless the offensive load is being distributed throughout the whole way through. And for the Suns, they kind of need that because beyond their starting five, they don't really have a lot of help anywhere else. Yeah, and if no one else is scoring, like Chris Paul, how much is he averaging? 13 points? Is
he had a pretty good game.
I think he was 16 points last night.
But
on the season, like he's not the offensive guy.
Chris Paul not put up 20 plus anymore.
And they're going to force him to take shots.
Absolutely. And DeAndre Ayton's going to be at your best when he's going to be paired next to Chris Paul. So your only really two guys that can get the ball in the bucket are KD and Devin Booker.
I mean,
and
Torrey Craig shoots the ball, like, get five for eight from 3-point range. That's not bad, right?
Consistently.
But I also want to show some love to Newer's guy, Kawhi. 31 points last night, 11 for 20. A very efficient night. Again, playoff Kawhi is here. When Kawhi Leonard is like this, we know he's top five player
in
the
NBA.
I want to give my shout outs to Russell Westbrook as well. And he's actually highlighting this next segment of the Ballers Club where he and Kevin Durant kind of reunited post game. What a beautiful moment that was.
Love it.
As a guy who grew up watching these two play in Oklahoma City, and it was probably some of the best basketball memories I have,
for sure.
Seeing these guys dap it up and kind of squashing that beef, it was beautiful, right? And Russ, look, Russ balled out. KD balled out last night too. Russ had 29 points. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Russell Westbrook can still put the ball in the basket, all you haters out there.
Facts.
And of course, Kevin Durant scored his traditional 25, 10 of 19 shooting, 0 for 4 from 3-point range, but still doing what he does best. But guys, how beautiful was that to see these two guys kind of dap each other after all they've been through, the cupcakes, the leaving OKC, the beef, the clapping back at each other. To me, it was a wholesome moment. I brought back a whole lot of memories when they were just highlight plays in Oklahoma City every single night. Right. And to me, it was beautiful to see that.
Yeah, I think even during the game, right? They had a little, chat headed to the sideline. But yeah, man, the OKC thing, obviously, that was a different type of NBA, with those two playing, with each other. I still wish they won together. That's their fault for not getting it done.
Okay,
but
with them not because the best storyline of our fucking lives for NBA,
I know, it was so fun though. It was so fun seeing them together. So I think the beef off court, I think if they could just get rid of that, that's great for basketball. Obviously on the court, they're gonna still, battle it out.
Russ has been playing KD hard, man, on defense. Yeah, he's been making him work for it.
I think that was probably one of the best beefs of our generation in the NBA, Russell Westbrook and KD. And it got to a point where you would think that there's no coming back from it because there was so much that was happening, not just with the fan bases, not just with the teams, but I feel like emotions were involved and people felt betrayed. And there were so many things that were happening behind the scenes that people were like, will they ever even be cordial together? Can they even be in the same room together? And seeing that happen now just shows the character and the growth in both of them, and that whatever we think them to be in the locker room, they're not those guys, and they obviously care about the people in their lives, and that's awesome to see. And I would have loved to see them win. I think it would have been amazing. Yeah. It was watching them play basketball together was one of the best, I think, teams I've ever, best duos I've ever seen play basketball together.
One of the best duos of all time.
For sure. But I am also selfishly happy that they broke up because it gave us, like, look at what happened afterwards. Warriors, Russell Westbrook, and him going head to head with KD now, I think it's just some level of, like, universe coming as a whole,
Well, that whole beef sparked Russell Westbrook to go. That to me was the best part. Russell Westbrook, following the divorce, went out there and won the MVP and averaged triple-double, right? Great. But they're going to be back at each other's throats in a couple days in Los Angeles when that series picks up. We'll be here to cover it all and break it all down NBA playoffs-wise. This has been Hoop Talks.
There's a lot happening around the association, so let's talk about it here on Hoop Talks. What's going on, guys? It's your boy, Jelani Goodridge. Reed, along with Noor Zainab, and obviously Justin Poole.
Let's talk about it, Jelani.
Let's talk about it. I know. We were laughing at that intro, okay? I tried my best.
That's your new catchphrase for the show. Let's talk about it, guys.
Let's talk about it. Write that down. But hashtag that, too. But, guys, there's a lot going on in this league. Obviously, it's a soap opera. And let's go to the West. Let's go to California. Northern California at that. The capital, actually, of California, Sacramento. by the way.
Light the beam.
Light the beam. But what happened in game two, right? We obviously know about Draymond Green and the antics, right? And what he did. Sabonis obviously fell down, right? He was on the ground. You saw his arms did wrap around his leg, and then Dre ended up stomping on the man, acting like he was a flight of stairs. So, guys, I got to tell you, I don't know if you've heard this, if you're living under a rock, but he's suspended for game 3.
Okay? Oh, no way.
Yeah, I don't know if
I didn't hear that. No, smart by the – what a PR move by the NBA to drop that in everybody's watching the Clippers and Suns game. Yeah. Like, oh, Draymond suspended for a game.
Yeah, so he's suspended for game 3. Okay, obviously, this all happened like in the fourth quarter, late fourth quarter. They were down 4. But – this is what Joe Dumars said about it, okay? Excessive and over-the-top actions, conduct detrimental, and a repeat offender. So I got to ask you guys, was the suspension justified? I'll give it to Noor.
I got first. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I didn't actually get to see it happen. I saw a little bit of highlights afterwards. But the discourse that I saw was almost just like, well, it's Sabonis did grab his leg. That did happen. Draymond had no choice. Like, oh, what was he supposed to do? And I'm actually like wondering if I've gone crazy because I'm watching the video and I'm like, this is assault. What he's doing to him right now is assault. Are we kidding? And yeah, Sabonis grabbed his leg. But I think in that moment when you're falling, he's not looking to see who's around him. He's just trying to cover his face so that no one steps on him. No one gets in the way of it. So he just went to go and cover his face, but no idea what he grabbed on the way there. And even for Draymond, like, obviously, yes, that's dangerous. But there's a different way of going about it to be like, yo, dude, what the hell? You grabbed my leg.
Yo, dude, what the hell?
You know what I mean? Something along those
lines. Yeah, yeah.
But he used his chest like a trampoline, jumped off that baseboard like it was nothing. That was insane. And then not just that, but after Sabonis is lying on the ground, goes to the Sacramento Kings fans and starts freaking pumping his chest. Like he's going off. That was insane. Like, watch the moment. Understand where you are. Right. You literally just stepped on a man's chest, and you're like celebrating this in his city with his fan base.
But here's the thing.
What are your thoughts on this?
First of all, Adam Silver was at the game.
He was sitting at row.
And I thought about when he was like, you know what? Adam Silver saw that, and he said, "Nah, not in my NBA, yeah. right?
not anyone's NBA."
I think if you.
The ejection
was fine. The ejection was fine. He deserved to get ejected, but you don't want to suspend him. They lost the game already. He was ejected in the most integral part of the game. At the end of the game, he was ejected. They lost the game. Why is it Sabonis not being punched for grabbing his leg too?
Oh my goodness.
I disagree. Yes. I think this is justified. I think it's justified. You know why? Because look at this NBA. Okay. I always say it's not my NBA.
Yeah,
you know why? You want to know why?
Because it's the playoffs.
Yeah, no, but listen here. They suspend people for nonsense all the time. Okay. You'll see people a little shove here and there. A little something here. They get suspended.
Clapping their ejected.
We've seen guys suspended for way less.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, Sabonis, he fell down. He fell down, right? I don't think he deliberately wanted to grab guy's leg. Okay, we've seen guys actually grab man's leg. We've seen it with Draymond when he actually grabbed Aaron Gordon's leg one time.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think that was deliberate from Sabonis. It happened, right? So that probably enticed him. But you can't tell me that you're going to act like this guy's a step stool.
And Draymond has the history of stuff like that.
Here's the other thing, right? The history of it, right? Remember when he got suspended in, what, was it 2016 finals, right? That's because he had too many texts and he got suspended for the next game, right? This is all... The reason they suspended him was because, not because of the play, because of his history.
Okay.
No, it was the play.
That's so arbitrary.
Yeah, but that's just, to me, that is justified.
Absolutely. You can't make
that decision. Look, the Warriors are down 0-2. They're one of their most important players.
Because he was going at the crowd, making obscenities to the crowd. No, 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 no. Do not pin that on anybody else except Draymond Green. You did not have to do that. This is the finals. You're in the playoffs. You're about to go to game 3. Your team's losing against the Sacramento Kings. You're going to go home. Your team needs you. And you're going to assault someone on the court.
He was holding his leg. What do you want him to do?
The benefit of the doubt in that situation, it's Jamontis Sabonis, not Draymond Green.
Look, I love Jamontis Sabonis, but you can't hold the guy's leg.
I love Jamontis too, but I'm not even trying to have an agenda here. I'm just saying he literally did not want to hold his leg on purpose.
He was covering his face.
Okay, but does Draymond know that? Draymond said
he knew.
Draymond is just extra in this situation.
I'll admit that so, afterwards, pumping the crowd up and all that stuff, saying obscenities to them, that's extra. I think that's also extra.
Yeah, that's why he got suspended. Human assault that was happening. He could have broken his chest.
So, I don't know. I don't know. But I just want to ask you guys, like, quick before we move on. So he has the player option, right? That he could opt out of, right? So I gotta know, is this done?
It's
here?
Done.
Is
he's going to he's going to be in LA.
Warriors need to end that relationship, because after you watch one of the main guys on your team after the game go home and put up a YouTube video called Live Reaction Game 1, that's an issue. The next game he goes over and he assaults someone, gets himself ejected and suspended, taunts the audience in front of Adam Silver. He's in the front row.
Yeah, it's funny.
And you think that's okay?
Cuz he was talking to the fans in aisle, like in row 5, and then Adam was like at row 7, so it's kind of funny. But
look,
it's over.
Draymond's done in Golden State, but here's the thing. Warriors win in the next 4 straight games.
No, they're not.
You think so? I hope so, because that's our pick. What are we talking?
We're not even talking about the Sacramento Kings playing great basketball. We're talking about Draymond Green, and that's what makes Draymond Green so smart. He took all the heat off of his team and put it all on him.
Are you
right?
Kidding?
And now Steph, Clay, Wiggins, they're answering questions about Draymond,
you know,
not what they're playing.
You need to be
Draymond
doing for a living.
Is a media marketing genius.
No. For a living, you should be a public relations person, because the way you put a spin on things makes no sense. Crazy.
I kind of see what he's saying, but
exactly.
The overall theme here is it's justified. Okay, let's
Colin
move
Coward
on.
Give
let's,
a raise at the volume.
Let's move on. Let's move on to the anonymous poll that happened.
That was a great poll. I love this poll.
This poll was fantastic, right? And we saw a few questions up in there, right? Most overrated player, you know, best coach, blah, blah, blah. But the GOAT conversation came back. MJ versus LeBron. So out of this poll, okay, this was answered, by the way, by 100 current players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. LeBron, sorry, man, you got 33% of the vote. MJ, 58% of the vote. So I got to ask you guys quick, who's your GOAT? Like, overall GOAT?
Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player who ever played.
Because I asked that because what does LeBron have to do in your eyes to be the GOAT?
There's nothing. LeBron's legacy is cemented.
No, I don't even think it's just that. I think the thing that we don't realize is all these players that are voting in this thing right now, they're current NBA players. Not only are they current NBA players, but they play in the NBA right now next to LeBron James. So it's very hard for a player to praise someone that you're already playing with in the league. Like, that's your competition. So for them, it's very easy to be like, well, actually, the great was before me, and that was Michael Jordan. So I think that's the mentality of people. We'll really only get to appreciate LeBron James after he's retired, mm-hmm. after he's left, and after then we'll be like, holy shit, we just witnessed one of the best things
Do you think, because we see this in baseball with Babe Ruth, he hasn't played since like 1919 or whatever, and they still think he's the GOAT. Down the line,
Barry
people
Bonds
are still going to consider Jordan the GOAT?
Look, Rich Paul said it too, and LeBron's guys have said it too. Like, they know, like, as time goes on, people forget about Michael Jordan. That's why The Last Dance dropped, and now everybody's back. Like, Michael Jordan's smart.
Yeah.
He put that in there and remind everybody just how great he was. And look, you're talking to the guy who, I'm the biggest LeBron James fan known to mankind, probably. Exactly. So, but to me, the other takeaway from this poll was that Kobe Bryant got 7% of the vote. Right? And I know it's not a lot.
Where was he on that? Like third?
Third. So it was Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, right? Okay. And that just shows you, because when I look at today's NBA landscape, if you pull every player, who are their three greatest players? It's going to be Kobe, Jordan, LeBron, right? And I think that to me was something that really stood out. Like Kobe Bryant, I even got it. There's a Tracy McGrady got a vote on there too. That was kind of surprising.
But do you think that's also because it's like recency for us, right? Like, we actually got to watch these players growing up, and we had never really got to actually watch the Magic Jordan, all those guys, the Larry Birds, like the Hakeems, the greats of the world. So I think it's easier for us to be like, well, for us, top three right now is what we got to see. But I think it's really hard. Like, imagine putting some of the best basketball players in their prime, they're all alive in their prime on a court together. Like, who's really going to come out on top?
I don't know.
There's so many different eras.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Style
of
game.
In their prime.
And you think, in 20 years' time, right, when Steph Curry retires, I'm sure if they do a poll like this, people are going to say Steph Curry's the greatest player.
Exactly.
He's going to be on there, it's just the showing you how, you know, time changes. But again, the fact that LeBron is still playing and you're 20 and dominating the game and still gets 33% of the vote, you're never going to... I can assure you, right, him and Michael Jordan, I think there's levels to this, right? There's Michael Jordan, LeBron James, they're in that special stratosphere themselves. And then it funnels down after that.
I put Kareem in there, but that's just me because he's my third.
I think LeBron and Michael are more transcendent than Kareem. Kareem did a lot for the culture. You know, he stood up for a lot of things, very big in, you know, in social activism, stuff like that. Bigger than Michael Jordan, bigger than LeBron James as well. But LeBron, we know LeBron speaks up on the issues as well. But it's impressive. And I think it's such an interesting debate. We could talk about it for days about who's the greatest NBA player of all time. Right?
That's true.
And everybody's gonna every time we talk about it, we're gonna have a different reasoning why this person's better than a different person, right?
Kawhi Leonard?
What?
that's your pick in the pool?
Pick in the pool. You're gonna ask me something.
You completely glossed over Pascal Siakam being the most overrated player.
Yeah,
in the NBA.
Look, we are like you know, in terms of time, right? We're running out of time. But the quick fraud watch segment that I want to go over, right? So there's obviously always ballers out here, but there's always a fraud, right? So here's some nominees. For today's episode, okay? So we have James Harden, game two, all right? Here's what he did in game two against the Nets. 8 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Okay, the 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, nice. But 8 points, 3 for 13 from the field, 2 for 8 from three-point range. Then you have Trae Young. He was actually voted the most overrated player in that poll. This is my dog, but I have to give you these numbers, man. The last 8 playoff games, look at these tour dates, okay? We talk about SZA's tour. There's also the Trae Young tour. 9 for 22 from the field, okay? 2 for 8, 3-point. 5 for 18, 1 for 5 from 3-point. 2 for 12 from the field, 0 for 5, 3-point. 3-11 from the field, 3 for 10, 3-point. 6-4, okay, it goes down across 8 games, okay? He's also ranked 131st in 3-point percentage this season. That's Trae Young for you. But so he was voted 14.8 was, among that poll for overrated players. After that, tied for second was Pascal Siakam and Julius Randle. Quick thought on that, Nor? I know you're Miss Raptors Twitter. And then the last fraud honor in terms of nominee, the Suns bench. 10 points in game one, 13 points in game two. We obviously know top heavy, and they brought in Terrence Ross, they brought in TJ Warren, but they don't use those guys, for example. And if you're looking at it, the Suns starters have scored 210 of their 233 total points scored this series. So out of you guys, real quick, who's your fraud of the day? Out of these guys, the Suns bench, Trae Young, and James Harden.
James Harden. I think we've been saying it. We said that. If Philly can't go anywhere, unless James Harden comes through, and he has not.
Just.
I love Trey. I used Trey the gang, but man, I think his time in Atlanta's done.
Really?
I think they trade him. I think they build around maybe DeJounte, or they get another star. Maybe it's a star for star swap. Maybe Dame for Trey.
Maybe they bring in Jaylen Brown.
Dame for Trey.
Jaylen
Brown's an Atlanta DeJounte guy too.
You never know.
Hey, I would love DeJounte and Jaylen Brown as a backcourt. I think that's a better backcourt than Trey and DeJounte.
Yikes. But all I know is this. The Hawks are in trouble. Okay, but that was the fraud watch. That was around the association. Yes, we went a bit over, but that's okay.
Let's talk about it.
I know you guys loved the conversation. Let's talk about it. See you next time.